I am going to do a PhD in science. How can I approach science in such a way that I don't get carried away by it while doing pursuing my scientific studies? Answer: science is a valid and a valuable tool for acquiring knowledge about this world at a particular scale of observation. And it doesn't necessarily have to challenge or trouble our bhakti. But when we start the mistaken attitude to extend science beyond its valid scope, science can answer certain kind of questions, and science does not really have much to say about other kinds of questions. So there is science and there is scientism. Scientism is actually a system of thought which claims that science can answer all questions, which puts omniscience, a halo of omniscience around science. Now, scientism itself is not scientific. There is no scientific theory that can prove that science has all the answers. That is a philosophical claim. That whatever is not answered by science, that is all wrong, that is all invalid. That is not a scientific claim. So what exactly is science in general? Basically, currently the way science works is that science observes nature, that nature may be the universe, that nature may be matter, that nature may be atoms, whatever it is. It looks at matter and it tries to study its behavior and explain that behavior in terms of natural causes. So as an operational principle, most of the science today says that the non-natural or supernatural. In today's science, soul or God, the idea is that if in the past people believed that when the Black Plague was there, that was because of some evil spirits. Then if we had continued to believe that, then we would not have found the cure, the vaccine and other cure. If we look for natural causes for natural phenomena, we can analyze those causes, we can control them. The science, not them in the negative sense, but science attitude is, if we look for natural causes and find natural causes, then we can progress in our understanding and our ability to start looking for supernatural causes. Science does not bring in anything non-natural into its method. This means that the non-natural doesn't exist. Just as an example, that if a person is playing, now a ball is hit into a hole. I can explain this in two ways. One is that hit this ball at this velocity from this angle with this momentum, and then that causes a change because of which this ball went into the hole. In terms of the laws of physics, it's a correct. At the same time, I could give another explanation. This is expert player, and he hit the ball at such an angle that by his expertise, the ball went into the hole. These two are not contradictory. The laws of physics are also true. The skill of the billiards player is also true. Science, in a broad sense, specific theories, we'll have to discuss much more in detail about them. But in a broad sense, the science focus on natural explanations is fine. But when the natural explanations are considered to be the final explanation, and then it is assumed that once we have natural explanations, we don't need anything more. So as long as we recognize that science can answer some questions, and some questions it can answer phenomenally well. But at the same time, science cannot answer all questions. What are the kind of questions that science can't answer? They fall broadly in four questions about origin. Science talks about nature and the order of nature. But where did this order come from? Science can't answer, because the origin is not something that science can observe and experiment with and replicate. Can't do that. Now, there are theories about origins. But although we may say the theories about origins are scientific theories, they are not of the same level of authority as theories about the current structure of matter. So for example, theories about origins, be it Big Bang theory or theory of evolution or whatever, cannot say that they are of the same level as, say, Newton's law or Einstein's equations. Because these are demonstrable, repeatable, testable. But theories about origins, they are not testable. We're not saying that, and we're not making the point whether they're right or wrong right now. I'm simply making the point here, everything that is called science is not of the same level of authority. I have a full class on this. I'll give you the link of that afterwards. But suffice it to say that when science goes into the past, it has to use very different methodologies than what it uses for studying the present. And that's why the ideas it comes up out of the past, they are very speculative. So origin is something, and that also science can answer only about the past. It cannot answer about the beginning or before the beginning. Yes. So origin is something science can't answer about. Second thing that science can't answer about is value. Means what is right and what is wrong. Why is something right, why is something wrong? Science can tell us how to abort a child, but But whether abortion is right or wrong, you know, science can tell if you use a machine gun, you can kill a person. But killing whom is right, killing whom is wrong, is actually, is science in that sense is value neutral. It is not, it is, science itself is not bad, but it doesn't tell us what is good or bad. Yes. That knowledge has to come from somewhere else. Scientists may also be good people, but it is not their science that has made them good. Their sense of goodness, their sense of rightness and wrongness, that has come from their moral framework, which has not come from science. So science doesn't tell us about values. What is right, what is wrong. So Einstein himself said that we can have, what is the word he used? We can have the ethical foundation of science, but we can't have the scientific foundation of ethics. Ethical foundation of science. Science should be ethical, we can have that. But we can't have a scientific foundation of ethics. Ethics are, they are come from a different source. It doesn't come from science. The third is quality. Quality means, not in terms of, I'm not talking about virtues, like honesty, truthfulness. It's, now according to science, this table is simply made of atoms. So it's mostly space. Or if you look at relativity theory, it just waves. So from either model, that model, either you take of atoms or waves, relativity or quantum physics, from that level, how does the world as we observe it emerge? Normally, if I say I take a pack of cards and I can build a castle out of it. But atoms themselves and the fundamental particle that makes the atoms, they have no color, they have no fragrance, they have none of the sensory perceptions that we have. So if something is beautiful, I may say, okay, this has a red color, that has a red color because there's a particular red pigment put in that. That's fine. But what makes that pigment red? That pigment is ultimately made of the same atoms and molecules as a colorless element might be made of. The only difference might be in the kind of bonding that is happening between the elements. But so from that world, from the world of revealed by science to the world that we come up to, how does this world emerge from that world? It is not explainable. A famous, I'll send you the link to a PPT. There's a famous Nobel laureate, Erwin Schrödinger. So he's Schrödinger. He said that science cannot answer questions about either sweet or bitter, beautiful or ugly. Science provides us tremendous knowledge in terms of analyzing our experiences in this world, analyzing our factual observations in this world, and putting them in an array. But in terms of qualitative analysis, science provides no answer. Science sometimes tries to answer these questions, but he is a Nobel laureate scientist, and he says these answers are so silly that we are not inclined to take them seriously. So in terms of quality, science cannot provide the answers. So we need to look elsewhere for answers. And ultimately, purpose. What am I living for? Every scientist may have a particular purpose. That purpose has not come from science. Because the idea of science is that nature works according to natural phenomena. And natural phenomena, they don't have consciousness. So they don't have intention. So they can't have purpose. Origin, value, quality, purpose. These things are something which science can't answer. So broadly, I can provide you some of my lectures, then I can provide you some books by devotees, even some, if you're interested further, some books by devotee scholars, books by scientists also in general. Especially the things which I talked about, they all fall in a field called the philosophy of science. This broad philosophy, and then there's philosophy of science. So there are many issues which when we study science, we never come to know, which are very important, they come in the philosophy of science. Depending on your interest level and depending on your time, you can do that. In general, most devotees, unless they have a very great passion for science itself, most devotees, when they study science, even if they are doing advanced degrees, that is more for functional purposes. They would have a good career and a stable position. And of course, they may have interest in science, but science is not necessarily a life passion. So if it is not a life passion, then it's unlikely that just a scientific education is going to erode our faith. What might happen is during the course of scientific education, we get exposed to certain culture, and that culture may create some problems. That is a danger, whichever branch of knowledge we go in. So if you face some specific intellectual challenges, if I have the capacity, I can provide help. Otherwise, I can connect you with devotee scientists who may also be able to help. But broadly, understanding the scope of science deals with a lot of problems that may come up. The way we are educated, often subconsciously, we get the idea that science is almost like omniscient. This is not a criticism of science. It's like if I say that the President of America is a very powerful person, but the President of America is not the king of the world. So this is not an insult to the president of America. It's a statement of fact. Like that, science is a very powerful source of knowledge, but science is not the source of complete knowledge about everything. Yes, if you just understand this, then we'll see that the way I simply say this, science helps us improve things in some ways, but it is spirituality that helps us improve people, improve ourselves. So if I have anger, if I have lust, if I have greed, if I have depression, science may give me some pills, but in those pills offer only superficial cure. If it's a neurological problem, that's a different issue. But if it's a more of an emotional problem, it's difficult to deal with that. So I feel overall, study some of the literature. So I can just go to thespiritualscientist.com and search there for science and spirituality. There are 3-4 lectures. One is, are science and spirituality at war? That is one thing which you can hear. Before I came here, I gave one lecture to IIT students. Spirituality in the age of science. If you just search for these two names, yes. Spirituality in the age of science and are science and spirituality at war? There are PowerPoints also for both these talks. That itself should give a fair understanding. And if you have further questions, then if you'd like to read something further, then I can give you further links or further material, depending on your interest. Because this is also a big universe. And it depends on what you would like to focus on.
Maybe one more question.